and our youngest kids in the front. So let's keep minnows in the front, seals at the back, starfish in the middle. And while they're organizing themselves, I just wanted to share a few words with you about our kids' programming. So many of you, I think many of you know who I am, but some of you don't. So my name is Rachel Burgess, and I do children's programming here at The Gathering Church, and I have for the last few years. And just to give you a little bit of context, when I started doing, aren't they awesome? You guys are all just taking it in. When I started doing children's programming a few years ago, the kids would go into their separate classrooms. There wasn't really like a meeting together. They would just go straight into their age-appropriate groups. And over the last few years, what we've started to do, and many of you know, some of you help out, we come together first and we have what we call our pod worship time. And that's been a really awesome opportunity for us to get to know each other, right? To know the people that you're in Sunday school with, to make friends, and to have a sense of community together. And that was really important for me. And now that I feel like we've really established kind of our rhythm of being together, I've started thinking about, okay, how do we challenge ourselves to grow? How do we create space for these little people to know Jesus more deeply? And so we've been talking a lot about the Bible, right? We talk about stories from the Bible, and we act it out, and we do lots of fun things. Just thinking about what we would do this year, this summer, I thought of how I know the books of the Bible because when I was in Sunday school, I sang a song that helped me kind of give me a riff so that still, in my mid-20s, when I'm looking through my Bible for a particular book, I sing that riff in my head, and then it helps me find it. And I thought, that would be a great thing for us to do as a group of kids. So we've been working on that since September, and we're going to share that song with you. And then starting this year, another thing that I was thinking about, I was again like, how can we grow? How can we challenge ourselves? And so again, the Bible, we've been talking about how the Bible is a tool for us to know God more deeply, right? And to put those promises in our hearts. And so we've started studying scripture and doing a memory verse of the month. And so January was the first month we've ever done this. And so last Sunday, I don't know if you noticed, but in the hallway, all the kids were coming out and saying their verse and getting like a lollipop for doing so. So a little bit of an incentive. And there were 24 kids who did that, which is really incredible. So they're sowing these seeds in their hearts. Yeah, so it's really, really great. So Brinley, do you want to come? So Brinley's going to share our verse from January with all of you, and then we're going to give you guys a song that we hope you'll enjoy.
The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. Psalm 28:7.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? Okay. And so now we're going to sing our Books of the Bible song.
Thank you.
job. Okay. Now, do you guys want to sing it? Your turn. We'll try this. Okay, so now I'm going to dismiss the kids and we're going to go to Kids Corner.
Thank you, kids and leaders. So much appreciated. Let's just take a second to pray as they head out. Father God, we give you thanks for each one of these children. Thank you that they are beginning to store your word in their hearts and in their minds. And I just pray, God, that those words, those scriptures, Lord, they will never lose that, but those seeds will bear fruit. So God, just bless them as they learn, as they grow. Thank you for the leaders, for Rachel and others who are teaching and training and guiding and loving. Lord, just may each Sunday morning be just a time of praise, of worship, of growing in you, even at that age, whatever they may be, Lord. Just bless them today, we pray. And God, we just pray for your presence here among us as well. Teach us. Cause us to hear your voice. We ask you that in Jesus' name, amen. Spiritual growth. We've been working through that over the past couple of weeks. We're going to continue this morning spiritual growth through understanding the times. Slightly different style and focus this morning, a little bit different direction. 1 Chronicles, verse 12. The author here is describing a transition of leadership for Israel, a major time of change. Saul has died. David has been established and beginning to be established as king. And as leader, he's amassing an army. Different tribes are representing and saying, we will commit these numbers of people. And the author, if you go through that chapter, he notes by tribe the numbers and the people that will be committed to this army. And in verse 32, he writes this, and I quote, "The men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs and their families, etc." The men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, these followers of Jehovah, understanding the times, had knowledge, had a spiritual sensitivity as to what God was doing. And they understood, they knew this was a time of change, dramatic change, kingship was changing. Their world would be different, but they knew, and I love that phrase, they knew what Israel should do. A spiritual wisdom and insight and knowledge that I believe was provided by God. And if we go on through the next chapter and read there, we read of David making a decision to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. God does a mighty work of battle through David and defeating the Philistines, establishing firmly David's kingdom. Understanding the times. Fast forward now with me to Matthew 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Again, Jesus interacting with the religious leaders of the days, and you know how they were. I mean, they were confronting him, they were questioning him, they were challenging him about who he is, who he was, proving himself. And on this particular day, they asked for a sign. They wanted a sign from heaven, was their words. And Jesus chastises them. He rips into them. He says, you look at the sky, and if it's red at night, you say, oh, fair weather for tomorrow. Red sky in the morning, probable storms. You can interpret the sky, but you cannot understand and interpret the signs of the times. Lack of insight, lack of wisdom, not understanding the times. Fast forward again to Acts chapter 6. Church is growing. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the believers. Massive changes. People are coming to the Lord. The church is booming and growing, and leaders are struggling to know, how do we handle all of this? And one of the major issues of those days was a feeding. How do we care for the needs of people? Widows, orphans. And as leadership came to a point of going, hold it. We need to step back a second. What is priority one for us? And as they talked about this, they said our priority as disciples, as followers of Christ, as the disciples of Christ are to preach the word, to preach Jesus. But here is a physical need. We cannot neglect this as well. And Peter says this, choose seven from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And as they go on, he says, these seven will administer the food and administer and work with the widows and the orphans, and we will continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They understood the times. Times were changing. Life was changing. God was moving. Decisions had to be made. And I love that phrase of the character of the people that Peter was, I believe, led to ask for. People, leaders, full of the Spirit, known to be full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. To do what? To administer the giving out of food. Very practical and yet Spirit-led. Times were changing. God calls us as believers in 2017, February, not September, as I said before, in February, to understand the times. Life around us is changing. We live in challenging times. Conflict issues confront us at times, in our face at times. This morning, we're not going to, in our message time, dig in deep into all of the issues of our day. That would take us some weeks. But we are going to consider two areas that I believe impact your lives. But before we do that, we want to spend some time in prayer together, praying that God would give us insight and wisdom, would give us comfort, and I pray understanding of the issues of our day, issues that our country has faced just this past week. So I'm going to invite Catherine to come and share in this leadership of this time of prayer together.
1 week ago today, many of us gathered here in this space to worship through song and to worship through prayer. And today we return again to worship through song and prayer. But in the days in between, an act of hatred and violence was perpetrated against others who were gathered for worship in song and in prayer. In this week, we have seen and we have heard of the grief, of the pain, of the loss, and of the fear of those who were impacted by the shootings at a Quebec City mosque. We've also seen and heard of acts of love, of solidarity, of peace building, and of kindness that have been shown to those most impacted. And we are all impacted. We all are to grieve violence and prejudice. And we also all are invited to rise in love and in action in support of our Muslim neighbors and our fellow citizens. In Scripture, we read that to God, darkness is as light, and that light breaks through all darkness. So this morning, I hope you'll gather in prayer with me as we grieve and we call against hatred, prejudice, and violence. Let's pray. God of light, we seek you to shine your light in the hearts, minds, and places of darkness in others and in ourselves. May we as individuals and as people of Canada be drawn to your light, which illuminates the power of love, of unity, of justice, and peace. God of love and compassion, you invite us to be light bearers in times of hate and in times of fear. In Scripture, you responded to the question, who is my neighbor? With an invitation to all to be people of mercy and to love our neighbors as ourselves. May we desire to be godly neighbors. Hear our silent prayers. God, we grieve that this act of hate and violence was unleashed upon people while they were praying. As Canadians, we are thankful for the privilege of freedom to practice religion in public gatherings in peace. We pray for our Muslim neighbors whose rights and freedoms were brutalized. May you heal their fears, tend to their grief, and restore their hope. Hear our prayers. We grieve with and for our Muslim neighbors.
God of unity and of peace, help us through our thoughts, our words and actions to be your people of mercy, peace, and friendship. And Father, this morning we pray for our government leaders, our policymakers. Spirit of God, direct their thoughts and their minds. Give them your strength, wisdom, and endurance to stand strong for our freedoms, to fight for justice and peace in Canada and in our world. Father, hear our individual prayers. And Father, this morning we specifically want to pray for our MP, Harold Albrecht, a man who is committed to you, Father, to your values and to prayer. And God, this morning we pray your blessing over Harold. Encourage him as he seeks to be your agent of peace and community building through his role in government.
God, this morning we acknowledge our grief before you. We also acknowledge where we may be feeling at a loss to know what to do in this time. Help us to remember that you invite us to be the city on the hill, the light in the darkness. Ignite in us your call to serve others, to be hospitable, to cry out for justice, to oppose hatred and prejudice. Hear our prayers. God, help us to see each person in light of the love and the grace shown to us in Christ.
Heal our land, Father. May the banner of your peace be raised over all people. And we pray this together in hope and in faith. Amen.
Amen. We're going to invite you now, if you would like, is to stand together. And we're going to read passages that are all from Scripture as a way of uniting us in prayer this morning. So please stand if you would like. Sure. We're going to be the right over here. Together we read. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Let us help those in trouble, so that light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around us will be as bright as noon.
Let us live as children of light.
And find out what pleases the Lord. Let us have nothing to do with the fruits and seeds of darkness,
but rather expose them. Let us see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And we have heard from the beginning that we should love one another, not only with words and speech, but in actions and in truth.
Let us learn to do right,
to seek justice, to defend the oppressed.
For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him.
Let our desire
an endless river of righteous living.
Let us act justly.
Let us love mercy.
Let us walk humbly with God.
Let us pursue what promotes peace and builds up one another.
Let us put on love, which is the bond of perfect unity.
Let us be imitators of God.
And live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us.
Let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. Amen.
You may be seated.
Understanding our times. And I believe, as we've done here together, prayer is such a critical piece of understanding our times together. This morning, we've asked two individuals to share from personal experience their understanding of the times that they live and work in. Jeff Dipple will come first and share regarding the challenge of career when employment is not assured. Job insecurity is there. Companies rise and fall. And as believers, what is God's call on our lives in terms of understanding? How do we walk in faith during these times? So Jeff, come. Thank you for sharing, and look forward to your ministry here.
Hi. I'm Jeff. Claire asked me to share a few words about spiritual growth in times of uncertainty, specifically job security. I've worked as an engineer at BlackBerry for 8 years. I joined during a big surge of growth and success, but for the last 4 or 5 years, layoffs have been a common occurrence, often happening every 4 to 6 months. Usually each round would cut half of my remaining team members. For a while, this was a discouragement, depressing environment, but I was relatively senior in my position, and I did not expect my position to be lost. However, after a few years, everyone who remains are senior, experienced, talented. Layoffs occur not based on job performance or position, but simply to meet required reductions. Uncertainty. What will the future hold? Living with uncertainty is hard. Knowing there's a significant possibility I could be out of employment every few months. It creates a roller coaster of worry and stress, causes fear and dread, fear of failure, all the embarrassment, inadequacy of not being able to provide for my family, anger and frustration at the whole situation. That stress has put lots of tension between Jenny Lee and I. My reaction to uncertainty is to duck, cover, defend, prepare, don't take on extra expenses, reduce our consumption. But this is not a healthy way to live long term. Jenny Lee desired to have another baby even during this uncertainty. We often imagined a family of four, so another baby was not a new idea to me. But I resisted that idea because I was afraid. I need to work to support our family. So how do we plan, grow, increase our family with that uncertainty? My fear and refusal to live during uncertainty caused the biggest discord we have faced in our marriage. And overcoming that fear and deciding to have our son Conrad was one of the most difficult things I have ever faced. Our imagination usually creates the worst case scenarios. I think that's why it's so hard to trust God during uncertainty. But my situation has caused me to grow and change to a different way. Understanding our times, uncertainty might never go away, so we can't stop living. Often, our journey is described as walking through a valley. And it's actually pretty hard to come up with a better illustration, so I'll use this one. The valley is filled with danger, perils, trials. Adding uncertainty means the valley is filled with fog, so you can't see very far in front of you. You don't know when an obstacle will come. The way could be clear, or suddenly an obstacle could be there. Uncertainty might never go away. We might have fog in the valley for a long time, perhaps the entire journey. This has taught me that we must continue on. And even though we don't know what's coming, God is still with us on this journey. And every step forward, he steps with us. I know there are many who also have job uncertainty here. With a struggling company or in a new job role or facing a new and different career. As a congregation, how do we support those in uncertainty? I know that I have found comfort knowing that I had a family and a church community which would support me if the worst case scenarios occurred. So share with us if you face uncertainty. Let someone know that so that you don't face it alone. My spiritual growth has not occurred instantly. It has been slow. every day taking a step forward, every day acknowledging that I don't know what will happen, and asking God for strength to trust him. And slowly, I found there is increasing peace.
I have been struck of late within our congregation and hopefully beyond that times of trial and sadness become words of testimony. And so, Jeff, we walk with you in this time of uncertainty and we celebrate that you take that which has been given and you use it as a testimony of increased faith and hope in God. I want to invite Katie Bowman up this morning. Katie comes from a different place than Jeff. She's a teacher in a local high school. And Katie's going to speak to us about what youth, what young people are facing in these times as today. And as we listen to Katie, what I encourage us to know is that we are the ones that the youth often are looking to. We don't know that. But youth are looking ahead to the adults in front of them. And as we listen to Katie today, may it encourage us, may it inspire us to walk with faith and hope as we role model to young people. Thanks, Katie.
So I'm Katie Bowman, which you know, but whether or not you know, I'm a teacher on the board here, a high school teacher. And when I tell people that, often the reaction I get is, oh. And oftentimes I can feel the same, I'm not going to lie. But I do think there are equally as many days when I can find wonderful moments and good reward in that. So Catherine asked me as a high school teacher to share what I think are some of the challenges and just trends even that what are our youth facing. So youth is encompassing of younger youth as well. So Amber McKay and Megan Steinman also shared some of their perspective, which I included in this, just from the perspective of elementary school teachers as well. So, and I know this is, it's interesting how everything can connect together, but as we talk and we pray for the situation in Quebec, where we talk about whatever's been going on in the news, we can say that we live in a really interesting time. And I actually often use the word chaotic. And I say this specifically with relationship to youth because for them, living in this time, they can't make a comparison to pre-internet or even pre-smartphone for that matter. And so for them, that's just a different mentality with which they live in this chaotic or interesting time. And so we could talk about the consequences and advantages of increase of technology for literally hours, and that's not what I'm here to do, but in light of that, I want to focus in on several trends or issues that to me, I think have become very prevalent throughout my career of teaching. So for me, it really comes down to kind of three things. I would say a need for immediacy, a lack or kind of a fear of failure, and then a consequential decrease in the ability to be resilient. So as humans, it's natural. We're interested in efficiency and speed. That's what it's got us to where we are today, and it's going to what's propel us forward into the future as well. But for youth who have never really known life without access to everything and anything when they want it or when they need it, that creates kind of a different understanding of immediacy, and I think it pushes down in a deeper part of their psyche. So they have an immediate need of information, an immediate need of results, an immediate need to complete work, immediate need to master a skill, immediate need to be with friends or a part of what's going on, and really an immediate need for success. And so I see this all the time in the academic realm, and that can be a challenge. But what's more worrisome for me, I think, is I see that trickling down into their personhood. And so the ideas of process and practice and time and waiting and development are lacking, I think, now. And they're being replaced by statements as, I'm not sure that I want to do that. That's going to take too much effort to master that. I'm not sure I want to put the effort into learning that because really it's not going to be an immediate result for me. And so it's interesting. And so then for me, I also see that then kind of trickling down into a fear of failure and not wanting to try things. So where students are facing, I think youth are facing today a mentality that they can't fail. And as we all very well and probably intimately know, failure is totally inevitable. It's going to happen, and it happens over and over again. And so for youth, today, they're growing up in a system where failure is not a word that's really even used anymore. And I say this really carefully, but it's not an opportunity that's even given. And so the need then for immediate success, it kind of hits head on with the need for common practice, or more common need for practice. And then when those two fit together, it's when youth encounter that failure because they're not getting that immediate result, that failure is completely debilitating for them. And so, again, there's this need for immediacy, this need then, or lack of failure that's happening in their lives, or fear of it, and then that trickles down into what I think is a growing trend of the ability, or inability, I guess, to be resilient when failure comes, or when challenges come. So students, and everybody, but students in particular, face upsets on a daily basis. Things could be completely as minor as I didn't do as well on that test as I had hoped, or bigger things to them would be social conflict or social unrest, or even deeper and much more harder things like I'm not doing well as a person, or my family life is not good. Those are things that are very common for youth to deal with. And so when they're dealing with a spectrum of difficulties, I really see a trend starting that they're having a hard time problem solving within that. And that knowing that it's okay to not be successful at something within that. And knowing how and knowing when to be resilient for when the inevitable next challenge comes. So this is something, again, resiliency, that I could honestly talk about for hours because there's so many levels to it. Resiliency is a big topic word. And there's so many contributing factors to that, but I would say ultimately that's a trend that I see that's happening because of all the different kind of prefactors that I talked about. So, well, I would say, this kind of seems disheartening, and I often think it is. I think that there's a lot of positive things that are happening, too, to kind of circumvent these trends. And I would say this is not applicable for all youth, and so there are many youth that are, I would say, models for their peers that know how to deal through challenges, that know how to not let themselves drown in complications of life, but push forward. And so I think that's a really positive thing that you can see, and you can set other youth up with those youth and say, you need to, you know, learn from this person. They've walked through the same thing. Let's connect you guys so you can talk through it. And I think another is there's a big emphasis and push in education right now to talk about well-being and kind of mindfulness and how do we give kids coping strategies, because there's an obvious need there, and so people are kind of becoming more aware, okay, things aren't working in society anymore for our kids to be able to do this on their own. We need to help teach them some strategies. And I think another is through teachers who are willing to acknowledge the challenges and kind of be open to talking about it in their classrooms about, okay, well, what's the importance of slowing down? What's the importance of prioritizing and allowing the opportunity of failure? That's not often a description that's given to failure, but I think there is great opportunity in it. And I also think about, in talking about this at church, it gives us as church members, maybe as a parent, maybe as an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, or even simply as a compassionate adult, the opportunity to build a relationship with the youth and recognize that they're living in a very different time than you or I grew up in, and to kind of meet them where they're at in that and say, okay, I recognize you might not have this skill set yet, but let me help you work on how do I get through this and how can I move forward through this, and I don't need to be completely shut down because of a failure or because of a challenge. I think that's a positive thing that we can kind of work together as a church and pray through, especially because our youth are on the younger side, but they're going to be heading into this. And so in the next however many years, 5 to 10 years, we as a church are going to be really in this stage. And so I think that's something to be very mindful of.
Thank you. In church, do we wonder what we can be doing for youth? And I want to be an encouragement to us, and it kind of rippled effects out of Katie as a teacher. So back in the fall, Katie, who brings leadership to a group of students at WL called Students Without Borders, a group of students, actually a large group of students, came to prepare the sandwiches and the muffins for Wednesday morning's Build a Lunch program. And then they returned Wednesday morning to the Build a Lunch program to be people of serving hands. And through that opportunity, there was one young woman who it just struck so deeply in her desire to serve others, that she joined in on our Wednesday morning Build a Lunch team. And so she comes and she is a bright light amongst the younger kids who now love that they have a teenager with them on Wednesday morning. God, he calls us, he invites us into plant seeds and to believe that the seeds that we plant will grow and that those seeds that grow into plants will bear fruit or will be trees that will bring shade and relief to others. And so as a church in these times, I encourage us that we will be planters of seeds of love intentionally, that we'll be planters of seeds of building community and communities that will rise up in peace, and that we will continue to believe that our hands and our feet and our acts of service are making a difference in these times. So for Jeff and for those who struggle with this insecurity in employment or difficulties in employment, a kind word, a companionship along the way, an encouragement, a modeling is important. May we be those people. And for young people in our congregation, in the Chandler Mowat community, and in the places that we go to, may we remember that we are to be light bearers in these times. And we want them to believe in their future. We want them to have hope. We want them to have belief that goodness of God is yet to come. Let's pray together this morning, and the band can come up. God, you invite us to know the times that we live in. And this morning, some of us might confess that we just see the shadows and the darkness. But God, I invite you to remind us, to encourage us, to give us a new vision of you amongst us, amongst this community, amongst this city, amongst our globe. God, that your work is not done, that you are not defeated, that you are not afraid, God, and that always you invite us to gather with you, and that as we stand united, greater things are yet to come in this city. I pray, God, this week that you would teach us something new about the times that we live in and give us a step of action, of kindness. I pray, God, that you would give us an understanding of heart who those appear different than us. Help us get to know them. I pray, God, for the Muslim children and families that come to Build a Lunch who we are getting to know, God, that we will be a welcoming presence of love and light to them. God, I pray for the shadowy places in our own lives today, that we will let you come in and dwell in light. God, may we be a friendly people, a kind people, a people of rich hospitality. God, may you indwell in us, and may we put forth then your light and your love. God, thank you for the teachers in this room who seek to be models of hope and kindness and care for young people of today. Thank you for all those who are employed, God. And I pray that you would spur them on in that which you've called them to vocationally. God, I pray that we would be aware of those around us who are struggling. And God, we thank you that we get to live in this country of freedom and of life. Amen.